Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Well, we've journeyed to this, the second Sunday of Easter, which is known in the church calendar as the Low Sunday. And it's known as the Low Sunday because the season of Lent and Easter begins on Ash Wednesday, and all through Lent, the life of the church grows and grows and grows until we hit Palm Sunday and Holy Week and Easter is a triumphant time, a busy time. It's a time of great activity in the church. And then we get to this Sunday, when all of the eggs have been colored and hidden and discovered and eaten. We get to this Sunday when perhaps the last thing left of the rabbit is that hardest to eat part, the bottom, the ears always go first. We get to this Sunday when all of the dishes from the Easter dinner have been washed and put away, the silver and the china, put away for another year, another festival. And now we come to a low time in the church year. Now, the lesson that we normally receive on this Sunday is not a lesson that happens to the disciples in a low time. It's something that happens to the disciples when they're extremely anxious, when they're frazzled, and when they're exhausted. The lesson that we receive is this lesson from John's Gospel, which happens on the evening of the Easter celebration. Now, it's known as St. John's Pentecost because it's a time in John's Gospel, John's an odd bird, it does things a little bit different, when the people of God are sent out from the upper room and into the world. And it goes like this. You have to remember the Easter morning narrative when Mary Magdalene is at the tomb and she finds that the stone is rolled away and the body is gone. She goes back and tells the others in this familiar story. You know that John and Peter, they race to the tomb. They look inside and they get it. They go back. Mary Magdalene experiences the risen one and she goes back and tells the others. But the others really wrestling with what exactly happened. At this point, they're not exactly certain. But they do know one thing, and that is that they're in a lot of trouble. Because they think to themselves, you know, if this happened to our master, if he was tried as an insurrectionist and as someone who is engaged in heresy and blasphemy, then it won't be long until they come looking for us. And so we find them on the night of the resurrection, and they're hiding in the upper room, with the doors barred and the windows locked. And there in their midst, and to their amazement, appears the risen Christ. Now you would imagine they might be fearful of this also, because Christ was the same one that they betrayed. They might not know that he's going to meet them in grace and mercy and not so much vengeance, but that's exactly what he does. When he appears in bodily form to the disciples in the upper room, he does so with the words, Shalom, the great peace. Peace I bring to you. The disciples, not exactly knowing what happened at this point, they're all speechless. And so Jesus continues. And Jesus does something that a first century Jew would understand. He breathes the pneuma, the ruach, the breath, the spirit of life upon them. As I have been sent into the world, so now I send you. Now, like I said, a first century Jew would put it together. That's exactly what happened in the second creation account when Yahweh makes Adam, literally, of the earth, out of mud, and then breathes his ruach, his spirit, his life. In both Greek and also in Hebrew, the name for spirit and breath are the same word, into him, thus animating him. So in the upper room, the risen Lord animates his followers, the disciples, and he says to them essentially, I'm sending you out now beyond these locked doors and these barred windows, and I'm sending you out into a world that, yes, will rain violence upon you, but is nevertheless in need of the gospel. Now, after Jesus does that, we learn that one is missing. That's Thomas. And there's numerous political reasons why Thomas is always made the butt of the joke in John's Gospel. But nevertheless, Thomas isn't there. He returns later. And when Thomas returns, the other disciples tell him, you missed it. The risen one was here. He was right here, standing here, bearing the marks of the crucifixion. And he told us that he is going to give us his spirit. And he sent us out into the world. And Thomas said, no, you're seeing things. The pressure's getting to you. You're all stressed. You're tired. You haven't eaten. You haven't slept. I'll believe it when I see it myself and when I can place my hand in the wound in his side and place my fingers in the wound in his hands and in his feet. Exactly 1 week later, there they are in the upper room again. And the risen one appears to them, bearing the same words, Shalom, my peace I bring to you. At this point, Thomas begins, My Lord and my God. And Jesus asks him, Have you believed because you've seen? And then John, in a nod to future generations of Christians, said, Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Now, this gospel message always comes to us on this Sunday. It always comes to us in the wake of the great celebration of the resurrection for two reasons. Number one, it drives home the point that the risen one continued to appear to his disciples for 40 days after his crucifixion and resurrection. And the second thing it drives home is that now we who are bearers of that message have a responsibility, and just like the disciples in the upper room who were animated by the gift of God's Spirit, we too have been imparted that Spirit, and our job is to go out beyond the doors and to bear that message to the world in word and deed so that others might experience the power of the resurrection through our actions and through our words. So here we are on this Sunday as we experience the risen Lord in the words of forgiveness and in the forgiveness that we find in the sacrament of holy baptism. Here we stand in this room as we gather together and celebrate the resurrection meal. Here we are as we hear the gospel, the word of God, which tells us about the resurrection power of Jesus, which is like leaven that has the capacity to raise us all. And we are charged this morning with St. John's Pentecost, the charge to go out and be the church in the world so that that resurrection experience might make it beyond our doors. Alleluia. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.